Welcome to the Samanet podcast series, Research for All, where Samanet advisors and researchers talk about their support for research on water insecurity in the Mekong region. Thank you very much, Achan Yan Yong, for joining us in the Samanet Research for All podcast. In this episode, we want to explore things that your work is focusing on, especially on flood management.
Thank you. Gracias, Jeff. It's my pleasure to join this interview.
So, Achan Yan Yong, you have been involved for many, many years, we know, not just from Samanet, working with local communities in flood risk management in Northeast Thailand. Can you tell us a little bit about your motivation? How did you come to do this work?
Yes, this work because of the colleagues in Northeast Thailand who work in Department of Disaster Prevention and Mitigation and the Regional Office of Water Resources, and as well as Ban Phai District Government. And, you know, one day we get together and I listen to them about the need on kind of ways on which to cope with the urban flood, because the storm coming to the Northeast in recent year very, very often, and many report on flood incident around there. Because it's come across Vietnam, you know, to Northeast Thailand, and that's hit in recent year. The climate change caused a lot of change of local climate, and you know, because of storm, and people lost a lot of their properties, livestock. In 2019, the storm caused a huge damage in Ban Phai City in Khon Kaen. And it was a really severe flood in Ban Phai city. And, you know, they really fear of that up to now. And that my team pay attention to this and whether we can help them, both the government authority and the community out there, and the flood victim in particular. Our team then came together and discussed. And lastly, we agreed to explore and test a kind of participatory approach, drawing on stakeholders to come together to explore ways to cope with the flood, particularly the development of preparedness action and early warning system. We then sent our proposal to Samanet, and luckily we were funded to do this joint action project. That is the story behind this, Rajesh.
Thank you very much, Achan. That explains how you got into this kind of work, which is very beneficial for flood risk management. Just to give some background to our listeners, can you tell us a little bit more about policy and planning for flood risk management in Thailand, in your view? Do these planning efforts include local communities in general?
Yes, it's a good question. Typically, in Thailand, and I believe in Southeast Asia, the flood mitigation and prevention policy and plan was formulated by the central government in the same way that was sent to the region and the provincial government, until that central or top-down plan was sent down to the local government. It is a top-down fashion policy planning development process by local community will not include in the process or implementation. That means to implement the flood preparedness, early warning, evacuating, or even rehabilitation, all these activities mainly done by the government authority, why there's no space or room or any recommendation and participation from a local community. I think that in many places, I think now they try to develop a so-called participatory approach solution. It is to work with all stakeholders, particularly with those vulnerable communities and concerned government officials, to explore the best way to deliver and develop a plan of action on flood preparedness and early warning system with most suitable for them to take action in coping with the flood.
I understand, Achan. And this is interesting because you have also said that usually the top-down planning happens and you're trying to do more from the ground up. And you said that it is a more participatory approach. Please tell us a little bit more about this. How do you think this is working better for flood risk management? And can you also, Achan, tell us what is different from the usual flood management when you do participatory action?
The participatory action model or participatory approach is a core concept why many development agencies internationally use this as a concept or tool to work with grassroots communities. It is to bring in key stakeholders to come to explore the ideas and ways to resolve the case. For example, the good example might be the participatory rural appraisal or PRA. This is used to merge a development plan of any case of interest that confronting the communities, such as how to transforming to organic farm, waste management solution, etc., that the case hanging there in society, and they use the PIA to pave way to resolve this case. I think the FAT posts high list to vulnerable community, while the community know their situation and capacity based on how to get prepared and even warning their own communities prior to the official reaching and helping them. The usual conventional flood risk management plan do not include this point. The vulnerable communities could help themselves before the flood come to them, and that the loss could be critically minimized. I think this is kind of the model.
The participatory action approach, can it work for people after they have been affected? For example, if there is a flood, people may move. Maybe their livelihood is damaged. Their homes are damaged. Maybe some of them come to the city. So is this approach only for before the flood, or do you think it can be for both, before and after?
And can be both. The flood happening the year before or the after also, I think this can be applied to both. For example, like if those community was hit by the flood, and they can bring that experience for learning and how to find way to resolve this again. This is the point is let them come together and discuss and explore a way to cope with it. This is in contrast to the conventional one, the decision maker will do that, the job, don't ask the victim or impact community to send out any recommendation. The decision maker no base to do it, not just.
Thank you, Achan. So it's very clear now. You're bringing communities together, and I think in those activities, you're able to empower communities. And yes, as you say, you're co-building the action for flood mitigation and flood risk management. Can you give us some examples of these learning activities that they have had to share, exchange knowledge and experience?
In our joint action project here, we really must focus on this learning activity, what we call. We bring them together and let them share experience during the flood event, what they do with their family, what they try to escape, do something and help those relatives and also family members, things like that. And we also let them know about the concept and practice of community-based disaster risk management, which kind of let the community to do it together. We show them good example of the FAT early warning system. We let them talk and express their view on their experience and action against the heavy flood. We let them propose their view in coping with the future FAT, and let a community draw a kind of FAT list map to show the list area and info outflow of water. These were done in 5 communities and eventually achieving the clear agenda and recommendation proposed to the local government authority for further policy and planning development. This is the kind of learning and then finally eventually getting some common idea and concept and propose action to the local government for further planning by the local government.
Thank you, Achan. Of course, all of what you're saying is extremely relevant to the larger Mekong, because obviously climate change is making these storms more frequent and floods more frequent. So when you talked of the tools for the flood early warning, which is really very useful for many communities in the Mekong, can you give us an example of some of these tools?
Basically, we start with let them learn from the kind of application, mobile application, with weather forecast, things like that. And there are a lot of application available online, and let them play with it and which one they like best. And also let them know about mapping the list area, thing like that, and draw a kind of flood map, which is another tool, which area is high list and where to evacuate to any high land when the heavy flood come. When the water level rising up to a certain level, this is the high list, thing like that, marking the beach pillar and let them see that whether this is safe, using a kind of local resource familiar with in the neighborhood that they can use for a kind of warning for themselves. Did not show them using drone or something more high-tech because they are really poor. Most of the vulnerable community are urban poor group. They cannot buy any kind of high-tech technology or apparatus or equipment for one. But they agree that they're happy to kind of make use of any local available resort at hand that they see that more appropriate, like this.
That is so important, Achan, because early warning systems, they don't only have to work, they also have to be affordable, especially for local communities who are sometimes, I guess, living on a daily wage. That's a really important point you made, Achan. We want to look at how these efforts can be transformed into policy. And we know that your work was very important for that, for the policy outreach. Can you tell us if there were any policy successes from this project and how you are influencing flood management policy making?
I think it is a good trick, though, Rajesh, that from the right start of the joint action project, we bring in boldly partner who are those regional government officer, provincial officer, district officer. They working with us from the start, understanding the problem out there. So that means from the right side, they tend to be a kind of not much interest in this because they've been familiar with a top-down mindset. So when project activity is ongoing for more than a year, and then they tend to change their concept or mindset, start to change and accept, not change, accept some new kind of bottom-up thought that suggests or proposed by those community, particularly the flood victims group. Then we organize many meetings that let the community leader present. For example, like we work with community official and community leader to collect information in the family household survey information. We use the questionnaire. We work together. And lastly, we analyze information and we discuss the result together with committee leaders. And we let the committee leader to present the result with us to the policy maker. This is a much changed situation. The policy leader, provincial government and regional government. Next come to, we organize a policy seminar or forum and let the committee present those proposed action to the governments at all level. And we invite the national decision maker to come and discuss the agenda of action this. And, it come up with those policy or planners and decision makers, they see the benefit. and start to change their mind and accept this proposal from the committee and come up with firstly the Ban Phai local government start to change and improve its flood mitigation policy and plan. And the national government now they try to find way or include this committee action into the national plan. I think this is the kind of not influence but impact on change of policy and action at national, regional and provincial and even district and local level.
This is quite important because before we go to changing in policy, we have to change practice and, as you said, also attitude, thinking. And to change from top down to bottom up thinking, this was interesting for the rest of the Mekong to learn. Do you plan or have you had people from other Mekong countries visit you and share these lessons?
Yes, there are some. For example, like unlucky that our project quite delayed though because of the COVID. And then we just try to complete our project just last month. Now we try to analyze and sum up the result. You know, if you got, it's got delay, it's long because we work with the committee, you know, and the government not allow us to make any meeting with committee along the way. Then we many interest group in Vietnam, national government, and that because I think that the national government of Thailand, they, you know, discuss with colleague, the center in Southeast Asia, you know, and then they mention our case to Vietnam government. You know, this is a kind of, and also Cambodia also, you know, and also I think in East Asia, some country, you know, I think Bangladesh, for example, I think that is from the voice of the national decision maker of Thailand, no? They mention us, and we still need your support in write up a result or any article to distribute to publicly to those any interest group or bodies.
Definitely, Achan. We have to support because these are also on-the-ground solutions. These are not only research, but you're actually affecting communities and how they live and how they cope with floods.
Yeah.
And in the future, it's going to be more and more important. So we really want to support this important work. So I am finished with our podcast questions, Achan. If you have anything to add or you want to emphasize, feel free to do now.
I need to thank to someone, though. I would like to, you know, kind of thank really much on this to supporting us and, you know, and also extension of the project time, you know, we get stuck with the COVID, you know, and that are very, you know, terrible and indeed, but we could overcome it until at the end and we get a kind of successful and even a really small project, but it deliver a lot of impact at national level, you know. We don't think that we gone at it far, you know, to impact regionally. You know, in the first place, we think just only the local government fine in Ban Phai, small city in Ban Phai, it's fine to help the people there. But it happened like unbelievable. So we don't think this it will happen. And what we dream is that we see next step is it. Someone will take this to coin more activity in research like this, and that will big help of community who does suffer an impact from any disaster, you know, consequences. And another thing is that we're dreaming that whether we would like to see whether in our region and also in Thailand in particular, whether we could have the village or community fund risk management plan. You know, this is the kind of a critical one. So we have only now the local government flood risk management policy and plan at Ban Phai try to update to the committee action. But if we could develop the committee base there, cope with the flood, and the government will support them this in, on the other way around, this is a kind of self-help, self-reliant, and long-term promise that we would like to see that. And we would like someone to listen and think of this if possible to support in this, in any places, even in Mekong region or any region of Asia.
Definitely, Achan, because also last year there were huge floods in Ubon. We were talking to Achan Kanokwan as well. And I think these are the areas that actually need this kind of research, this kind of lessons and sharing.
Thank you for listening to the SummerNet podcast series, Research for All in the Mekong Region. For more information, please visit our website www.summernet.org.